was always a dark, kind of a dark, dreary month. But as you look out this morning, all that mud is kind of covered up, everything's taken care of, and it's nice and bright and white. And again, just reminds me of what God has done for us. So let's begin with a word of prayer this morning, shall we? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for a day that our government, our country has set aside, a day to give thanks. But God, we recognize that every day is a day that we can give you thanks for who you are, for what you've done in our hearts and our lives, and what you are going to continue to do. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for the many ways in which you've already blessed us on this day, and for the blessing of being able to gather together to worship you here in this way. Father, may every part of this gathering here today honor and glorify you as we lift up your name in song and a message and just sharing with one another. Again, may you be honored, may you be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ian is going to come with his family and a couple others and lead us in a time of singing together as a worship team. So let's worship.
Good morning. I invite you to stand if you're able. Join us in worship.
But love could remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness do every morn. Our sins, they are the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness knew every morn. Lord, Christ, the true and better Adam, Son of God and Son of Man, who when tempted in the garden, never yielded, never sinned. He who makes the many righteous brings us back to life again. The true and better Isaac, humble son of sacrifice, who would climb the fearful mountain there to offer up his life, laid with faith upon the altar, Father's joy and only son, their salvation was provided. The story is the glory. Alleluia, amen. Christ the true and better Moses, called to lead a people home, standing bold to earthly powers, God's great glory to be known. With his arms stretched wide to heaven, see the waters part in two, see the veil is torn forever, cleansed with blood we pass now through. Amen, amen, from beginning to end, Christ the story. Christ the true and better David, lonely shepherd, mighty king, be the champion in the battle, where, O death, is now thy sting. In our place he bled and conquered, crown him Lord and Majesty, his family the throne forever. Shall e'er his people be. Amen, amen, from beginning to end, Christ the story is the glory. Alleluia, amen, 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 from beginning to end, Christ the story is the glory. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
This opportunity to be here. Thank you for your servant Brian, Lord, and the way he's been serving you faithfully. But most importantly, Father, thank you for your faithfulness to him and his ministry and his marriage and his being a husband and a father, and just in the many ways, God, that you're faithful to each and every one of us. We have so many things to be thankful for, and God, thank you for this opportunity to sit under your word here in this time. We pray your blessing upon Brian as he shares with us your message to us this morning. Help us to receive it as your word, put it into practice in our hearts and in our lives. Bless him in a special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We were singing, "It Is Well With My Soul." And as we're, this wasn't in my notes, this is just what I was pondering as we were singing. Some of us have come out of a tradition where to be too confident about your salvation wasn't good, because that meant you might be arrogant. And And I just want to clarify that when we say, it is well with my soul, we're not being arrogant, we're being humble. Because Scripture says, therefore, he is able to save completely, or save to the uttermost, those who come by faith to him. It's not overconfidence. It's Jesus' confidence. It's saying we are confident in what he did on the cross. And it is our belief in what he is able to do, what he did. That's where we can sing, it is well with my soul. No charge for that. That was just extra. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he goes on and talks about the earth was formless and void, and so the heavens are all out there. Everything other than earth is out there doing its thing when Genesis 1:2 begins talking about what's going on down here on earth. I brought this little object lesson here just because that's a 60-pound anvil. If this anvil, if something this size and shape were in the middle of the sun, first of all, we couldn't touch it because it would be way too hot. It's in the thousands and thousands of degrees. But this size at the center of the sun would weigh 1,200 pounds. That's how much more dense the center of the sun is than what the earth is. But then you go on and there's heavier things in the universe, and we get to a neutron star, and a neutron star, we're told that something the size of a thimble, which would be roughly the end of my pinky here, in Earth's system here, something that size in a neutron star would weigh millions of tons. And then there's a black hole, and the black hole is so far beyond the neutron star that all of that, like, don't let your mind get too overwhelmed there. But that's God's realm. That's what he works in. He created all of that. And then he came, and he took his creative powers, and John chapter 1 clarifies some of this a little bit for us. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And we go on and it says, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. And it becomes very clear that he's talking about Jesus. That in the beginning, Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made through him. How many things? All things. And without him was not anything made that was made. We could go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, and just see a little bit there. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. How do you take everything that we see and make it out of nothing? Or how do you speak things into existence? But let's go back. We're back in Genesis. We're told that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. So I don't know, we can just imagine this a little bit. The Father and the Son are there. The Son's doing the making. Nothing was made without him. Through him, all these things are made. So he's making man. Well, what do you want him to look like? An elephant or an ostrich or a caterpillar? Well, they said, let's make man in our image. Okay, so get some dust. We make Adam. And there's Adam. When Jesus gets done forming Adam, God says, and he breathes into him life. He was a lump of clay until God said, now, I am totally fascinated with the interconnection between several words in Scripture and the way we use English words, kind of all these different words. And how many of you have some pneumatic tools? I see quite a few hands. What does that word pneumatic mean? Air. How's pneumatic spelled? Starts with a P. If you're not good at English, it's like, well, I didn't hear a P there. Well, that's that silent P. It's in a word, pneumonia. If you get pneumonia, you're having trouble with your air. You're having trouble with your breath. You're having trouble with that system working. It's interesting that you drive on what, Myron? On what? Like, you drive on tires. A Frenchman doesn't drive on a tire, he drives on a pneu, P-N-E-U. The word tire in French has this word, this connotation of air. It's this air-filled thing that I drive on. But anyway, the words that fascinate me are when you read Scripture in the Greek, the word spirit is pneuma. But then you can keep reading and you find the word wind in your English Bible, and when your English Bible says wind, we get pneuma. And breath. He breathed his last. It's pneuma. But this, it's not just, so breath isn't just air. Breath is, it's what God breathed in there. It's moving air. Because when you die, there will still be air in your lungs. But air isn't enough. You need that moving air. Now, this is interesting. In the beginning was the Word. Let me say the word Word without moving air. It isn't a word until moving air crosses my voice box and creates words. So in the beginning is the Word. So Jesus, we have God is Spirit. God is life. God is breath. Sheree and I have had the privilege, just the way circumstances worked, we moved to Lewis County in 2003. She left Lewis County in 1980 to go be the wife of a Southern Tier guy. We lived in Lewis County till 80, or we lived in Steuben County till 89, and then we went to Alaska for 7 years, and then we stopped back here for 6 months, and then went to Florida for 6.5 years. She told me during that period of time, she said, "We can go wherever, but when my parents need help, I want to be there." And so in 2003, we moved back here to be close to her parents. In 2004, we bought a duplex and we remodeled the upstairs and moved into it, and then remodeled the downstairs and moved her folks into the downstairs. And we had 3 wonderful years with her dad until cancer came calling, and he died in 2007 there in our home. I had been at deathbeds before. But when the breath is gone, the spirit is gone. When the moving air is gone, then the spirit departs. They're so interconnected. The spirit is more than moving air, but without moving air, the spirit departs. And so both are in this word pneuma. And her mother lived with us then until 2017. And on New Year's Eve 2017, her body took its last breath. And her spirit departed. In 2022, my parents came to live with us. Just happened. She has 5 living siblings. She had 6, but she was the only daughter. So that kind of, she got natural, a daughter's place. But I'm the 4th of 6. My parents could have gone to other siblings, but combination of my parents' choice and some of their house. I have a sister with a house 17 feet wide and 4 stories tall in downtown Lancaster, and not made for invalid care. Just the bathroom is not on the same floor as the kitchen, and the bedrooms are, it just wouldn't have worked. And our home worked well. And so Mom and Dad came to live with us in 2022. Mom passed away 6 weeks later. 26 of us gathered in the room. When the breath left her body and her spirit departed. And January the 3rd, I think, in 2024, then Dad went to be with the Lord when his body just wouldn't pull in and put out air anymore. And that last breath was taken. I felt a little bit cheated that day because I had, I slept downstairs in the living room right next to his bedroom. Woke up intermittently all night long, could hear that same steady breathing, kind of noisy, a little bit rattly, but very steady. And I needed to go do something that I thought would take me about an hour, and I said, he's been so steady all the way through here. Gonna go quick this morning and get that done, come back. You guessed it, I was about 5 minutes from the house on the way back when he breathed his last. And I realized that that left me. My other siblings had all visited him, some of them within the last month or so, some within the last days, but none of them were there. And I realized it left me the same place that they were, and that was wishing they could have been by his bedside. That's been an incredible honor. Go try to tie these together. The God who created things that are so far beyond our realm that our brains can't grab a hold of them. Like something this size weighing thousands or millions of tons. We can't. That's a different realm. I'll tell you what we like. We like 70 degrees. If it gets 70 degrees colder than 70 degrees and it gets down to zero, we don't really like it. And if it gets 30 degrees hotter than 70 degrees and it's at 100, we don't like it. We've got a God who deals in thousands of degrees. That's his normal realm. So when we're told that Jesus emptied himself and took on the form of a man, became a servant, came here for the purpose of authoring salvation, we can see a little bit what the realm, the vastness that he left to become a child in a manger, to become the author of salvation. And that is something we can be thankful for. We can be thankful for God's creativity. I look at the world around us. One of the places I study it the most is I study it in a beehive. And just the incredible nature of the way God caused the hive of bees to function together and to be productive. And it's so creative. And each one of you, as you use creativity, and as you observe creativity around you, you're being a reflection. Because you were made in the image of God. When you get to the table today, pay attention to what you're eating. Every flavor that's there, God created. And he created my taste buds that I can discern the different flavors and I can enjoy them. And they vary so much. And I look forward to an eternity because I understand that what I know is about this big or this big. I don't know very much. But when we see him face to face, we'll know as he knows. Because Jesus says that it's his pleasure to take what is his and to make it ours. He's not going to spend eternity. He didn't want a bunch of pawns to run around doing his bidding. He wants us to be like him. He calls us brothers. That doesn't make sense. But the reason it doesn't make sense is because we think in all this earthly hierarchy stuff, who's more important? Jesus got no need to put us down. He made it his business to pick us up, to elevate us, to take away that which separates us, to bring us into perfection, into the presence of a holy God, and bring us to his likeness. And that I'm longing for. So one of these days or years or decades, I won't be able to say any more words because the air won't move anymore in and out of my lungs. And when it doesn't, my spirit will leave my body and be with the Lord. And for how long? It says, and we will forever be with the Lord. I look forward to that. I don't necessarily look forward to the process of those last labored, troubled breaths or whatever happens that causes the end of this life. But by faith, I say it with me, it is well with my soul. Father, thank you that because of Jesus, because of the Word, because of him coming, choosing to be the sacrifice for our sin, that we can be holy, we can be in your presence, we can be righteous. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Thank the Lord for that message this morning. And again, as we leave this place, let's continue to carry that with us. It is well with my soul. People need to hear that. They need to know that. They need to know that God loves them, and it can be well with their soul also. Again, thank you for coming. God bless you. Enjoy your day. And looking forward to all of those tastes and things and just, again, mind-blowing things that we have to thank God for. Again, so thank you. God bless you. Enjoy your day.